Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, I need you to pay close attention to this message. It is not an ad. This is about Canada Land, and this is about you. You need to know that the news crisis is about to get a lot worse. You've heard about the layoffs. We're about to have news closures, and it's very likely that we're going to be seeing the defunding of the CBC. Where are you going to get your information from? What can you do about this? You can support Canada Land. We need you to. And so for this month and this month only, you can become a Canada Land supporter and get everything our supporters get for just $2 a month. That is an almost 80% discount. The clock is ticking on this. It disappears at the end of the month, and then we will not offer it. We need your support. We need to keep news coverage alive in Canada. Go right now to canadaland.com/join. And thank you. This episode is brought to you by the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, CAMH. It's never an easy call with so many problems in the world to know where to direct the money that you donate when you want to help out in this world. But what I can tell you is that when you donate to CAMH, you're saving lives. We know about the opioid crisis. We know about the mental health crisis. They are doing the work. Help change mental health care forever. Your support will help CAMH build a future where no one is left behind. Donate at camh.ca/CanadaLand to help us treat addiction and build hope. Hey, before we begin today's show, I have a quick announcement to make. Every day I get an email or a tweet asking me, when is Commons coming back? Canada's only politics show that isn't boring needed the right hosts. And I'm very happy to tell you today, we have found them. Three of them. To find out who they are, here's what to do. If you are already a subscriber, your dormant feed has come alive. There is a message there right now from our new hosts. If you are not a subscriber, go to our website, go to CanadaLandShow.com. The main story you will see there is the link to this message from the new hosts of Commons. Subscribe to that show. It is coming back. It is going to be great. Check it out. Okay, today's episode is brought to you by Second City Improv Classes. They have classes for professionals, youth, teens, social classes. They have a professional business development improv stream. Go to secondcity.com/CanadaLand and claim your free drop-in class. Do it. Arthur Kent cares about his reputation. If you don't remember the name Arthur Kent, perhaps you remember the name the Scud Stud, which was his media nickname when he was a war correspondent during the 1991 Gulf War. When NBC News fired Arthur Kent from his reporting job and implied that it was because he was unwilling to take on a dangerous foreign reporting assignment in Croatia, he sued them for $25 million for breach of contract, for fraud, for defamation. And he won an undisclosed settlement and a statement from NBC asserting that he did not refuse this dangerous assignment and that he was, in fact, courageous. Later, Arthur Kent sued the producers of the Tom Hanks film Charlie Wilson's War for using clips of his reporting without his permission. And he walked away from that suit with another undisclosed settlement. And then Arthur Kent sued again. This time it was not about his journalism, but about somebody else's. After his long stint in American media, Arthur Kent returned to his home province of Alberta to run for office as a Conservative candidate, just like his brother, Peter Kent. But an article in the National Post during the 2008 federal election campaign, written by veteran political journalist Don Martin, said that Arthur Kent was not the scud stud, he was now the dud scud. Yeah, I would have thought that the better diss would have been to call him the dud stud, but Don Martin went with dud scud, which to me makes less sense. But in any event, it was something that Don Martin said that other people were calling Arthur Kent. Here's the context. Kent was running as a renegade candidate. He was openly critical of his own Conservative Party and its leader in Alberta, who had publicly snubbed Arthur Kent in return. Don Martin followed some other reporters who were writing negative things about Arthur Kent's campaign, but he went further than them. He said that he was in touch with people in the campaign, sources who told him that Arthur Kent's ego was out of control, that he was getting complaints from his own team, his campaign was a mess, people might be leaving, that he was a quote-unquote problem candidate with little chance of winning. So this article in the National Post by Don Martin, you know, it was a bit of nasty, juicy, insider political gossip, if you're into that sort of thing. And if you read it the way that I did, you didn't even blink. I kind of feel like I read that sort of stuff every day. But Arthur Kent did not read it that way. He considered the article defamatory, injurious, an attack on his campaign and on his reputation. He sued Don Martin and the National Post. He fought that legal battle for 8 years. And he won. Arthur Kent was awarded $200,000 plus costs. And this is the part that matters beyond the 2008 election, beyond Arthur Kent, beyond Don Martin, because that ruling against him is really without any kind of similar precedent. It might change what we in the press can and cannot say about people who are running for public office. Arthur Kent says that it was a great ruling for journalism. Don Martin, well, he can't say anything. Don Martin now works for CTV News, and he tells me that they do not want him to talk publicly about this case. But Arthur Kent joins me in a minute. Wait for it. This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by Jared Robert, Chris, David McDougall, Nick Turcott, Dan Curry, Peter Nardi, Susan Chrysler, and Calervo Cinervo. Calervo, why did you decide to be awesome?
Because no other outlet is better at keeping me powerfully and concisely informed about what's going on in Canadian media, politics, and arts culture. You guys make me feel connected to my country, and I think you're excellent at making space for both marginalized voices and voices from outside my own echo chamber.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's amazing the things that we tell ourselves to talk ourselves out of getting help. Anybody who's actually gotten help knows that the process of getting things off your chest, of taking your stressors, your problems, and just like not letting them be bottled up, working through just conveying them to somebody, half of the battle is just doing that. You unburden yourself. And you know what? If you have a real mental health professional, no, they don't have magic bullets or magic words that make it all go away. But often they can help you see things a little bit differently and guide you to strategies or tools or to a new perspective that actually does help. As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Because you listen to this podcast, you get 10% off of your first month at BetterHelp.com/CanadaLand. That's BetterHelp.com/CanadaLand. This episode is brought to you by Douglas, a mattress trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. Trust is important. There are a lot of mattress lies out there, a lot of mattress liars. And I didn't intend the pun, but it occurred to me that there is one as I was saying those words. Listen, I am not lying to you. I have experienced the Douglas mattress. It is an exceptional mattress at a surprisingly affordable price point. It is a mattress that sleeps cool, doesn't have that weird thing in the summer where the mattress gets like an oven. It's a very good product. It's delivered to your house in a box. You don't have to go to a big mattress store. It is a medium firm mattress, which is what Canadians prefer, and it comes with a 365-night trial and a 20-year warranty. What more can I tell you? Douglas is giving our listeners a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer.
And this episode is brought to you by Second City Improv Classes. I'm very happy to have Second City sponsoring the show. I used to love doing improv when I was a kid,
but I haven't done it in like 30 years because I guess I just somehow thought of it as one of those things like painting or something that we get all kids to do, but the only adults who do it are the ones who are doing it as a profession or aspirational or as some serious hobby. That's bullshit, man. Everybody should do this kind of creative stuff. Improv is fun, whether you want a career in comedy or not. It's a great way to interact with people, to open up, to learn different ways of responding, and just to have a lot of fun. And it's being used by like big companies as a form of corporate training. Academics and scholars and entrepreneurs have been extolling the life-changing benefits of improv. It helps both your personal and professional life. It makes you a better listener. And Second City is the largest school of improv and sketch comedy in the world. This is where John Candy went. This is where Stephen Colbert and Tina Fey went. Improv is inherently social. It builds friendships. It is hilarious and super fun. Second City has social classes, professional classes, youth, teen classes. And coming soon, Rewire You, a business-focused professional development program. Visit secondcity.com/CanadaLand and learn about their early bird discounts and claim a free drop-in class. You can just go do this. Check it out. Finally, this episode is brought to you by FreshBooks, our founding sponsor. This is the time of year when I am especially happy that I found FreshBooks. It is tax time, and FreshBooks makes tax time a breeze. Paperless accounting, cloud accounting, an accounting department for freelancers and small businesses that cannot afford accounting departments. That is what FreshBooks is. It is very easy to use. It is stupid easy to use. It is almost kind of fun to use. It's kind of nice to see where you stand financially, what's coming in, who's paid you, who you're waiting on, who's looked at the invoice but hasn't paid you. You get a sense of peace and calm knowing that your business is on lock, that you see what's happening. FreshBooks saves you time and it gets you paid quicker. Go to FreshBooks.com/CanadaLand. Try it for yourself for free. No credit card required for 30 days. If you become a customer, tell them that Canada Land sent you. You'll be doing the show a favor. What did Don Martin write about you, Arthur, that was factually incorrect?
Well, the court found that Martin's article exaggerated the degree of dissatisfaction with me among Alberta conservatives by repeatedly attributing negative comments about me as coming from multiple knowledgeable sources, when the evidence at trial was that Martin's information had come from single sources. And most importantly, when we read the Martin article, my colleagues and I in our Calgary Curry campaign office, you could see that the article was completely biased, blisteringly critical, and yet Martin had never spoken to me. I'd never met the man, nor spoken to him. And the court found that Martin actively sought out negative information. That's a quote. Just as the previous information I gave you, those are the court's findings. He actively sought out negative information about me, but, quote, failed to make reasonable inquiries to verify that information. And, you know, we could, again, when we read the article, which painted a picture of a campaign team in total meltdown that no reasonable Albertan would ever want to vote for, it was absolutely opposite the facts, and it was no accident that the court found that Martin knew that, quote, several, close quote, of his sources for the Martin article, quote, had an axe to grind, close quote, against me. Most particularly, his three anonymous sources. And sure enough, in the fullness of time, Mr. Martin voluntarily revealed his three anonymous sources, all three of them, to be people who were seeking career advancement or benefit from being backroom supporters and fixers within the Conservative Party.
There is some really interesting backstory that you're talking about here, and I want to talk about all of it. But we have to begin, when we're talking about libel and defamation, it's words that a journalist wrote that was printed in a newspaper. So I have to return to the question, like, which of those words weren't true?
Well, it's not, you know, in my view, the entire article was poisonously false. After 7 years of litigation and a 4-week trial, the court found, quote, that the statements and inferences in the Martin article, in the overall context of the article, are defamatory. Jesse, I understand where your questions are coming from. Look, I'm a reporter. I'm a journalist by profession. When I read this thing, the first day it was published, online, by the way, this is an internet case. This is not just a newspaper case. This is a story about a false article, a piece of fake news that was manufactured artificially and printed not just in several newspapers belonging to Post Media, at that time Canwest, but also were pumped out on numerous websites belonging to those companies and by Post Media for nearly 5 years. Now, when I sent in my written response to the Martin article to the Calgary Herald and the National Post and said, look, this thing is crazy. Here's my written response, 754 words, just like the Martin article. They refused to publish it.
Yeah. You know, I think I agree with both the ruling and your point of view that, like, to not let you have a say was a big mistake. And Don Martin did reach out to you for comment, but didn't give you enough time. He emailed you at an address on your website, but didn't contact your party office. He could have tried harder. So that part of it was not as big a sticking point for me as some other things. I mean, just listening to you now in describing the problems with the article, that it's biased, that it exaggerated, that Don Martin was actively looking for negative stuff about you. All of those things might make it bad journalism, but none of those things are illegal. It's not illegal to write a biased piece against someone. It's not illegal to exaggerate, or even, you know, you talk about how his sources had access to Grind. If we eliminated sources who had access to Grind, we wouldn't have many sources. I mean, that's where sources come from. His sources included Christine Robidoux. Lawyer Christine Robidoux was involved in your campaign, was she not?
Christine Robidoux was a close friend of Alison Redford seeking appointment to the provincial court bench in Alberta. She was part of my team, but she never told me that. She was my legal counsel, and when Mr. Martin emailed her saying, any more dirt, she dished the dirt. Incorrect and false dirt. That's not journalism. And the dirt that was dished to Martin, he never gave me an opportunity to respond to. The fact is that these cases were the first time that allegations of defamation by an election candidate against a journalist and mainstream news organizations went to court in Canada and were put under the microscope in the context of the Supreme Court of Canada's tests for responsible journalism. This is the first time. Those tests were established by a case in 2009 called Grant v. Torstar. Mm-hmm. Jesse, let me tell you, you have to be a complete failure, but you really have to try to flunk those tests for responsible journalism. The Supreme Court rules on responsible journalism makes bountiful room for fair comment, for justification, for acceptable reportage, reporting what's been reported elsewhere. You have to do what Don Martin did. You have to do what Post Media did. The court also found the defamatory factual statements in the article that were not saved by the defense of justification were also not saved by the defense of responsible journalism. And those, you know, Jesse, those are just the basics that you and I learn as Cub reporters and before. You know, report the truth. Be honest. Seek the truth. Always verify. Always give the subject of new information that you obtain from any sources, especially if they have access to Grind, you put that information to the subject of your story. Jesse, true or false, when you're a real journalist and you get some hot, hot information, you're busting to confront the subject of your story with that information. That's why you're there. That's why you're in the business. Martin did the opposite. Martin went out,
yeah,
put a cookie cutter lie together, and then made no attempt, made no genuine, or as the court said, no reasonable attempt to obtain comment from me prior to publication. And then lied to his editors about who his sources really were when all I did, Jesse, remember, it never would have been Kent versus Martin and CanWest, Kent versus Postmedia, if they'd simply run the other side of the story. But they refused to do so.
Yeah, that was a big mistake.
Yeah, they refused to do that. So the court found that they had no reasonable cause to do so. But they did find that Don Martin misled his own editors about who the sources for his article were, because I identified two of them, Mr. Love and Mr. Hallman, as being individuals who were openly hostile to my campaign because I was advocating positions that they thought threatened their livelihood as lobbyists.
Look, no contest. Arthur, you won. I mean, it was a scathing ruling and thoroughly to the detriment of Don Martin's reputation as a journalist. And nothing that happens in this conversation is going to change the fact that the court agreed with you that this was defamation. I don't really have a dog in the fight. I certainly don't have a dog in the fight of defending Don Martin. And I don't have any point of view in terms of the inner Alberta politics that you're talking about, though I find them really interesting. I'm looking at this because this, I think, will be a precedent-setting case. As you say, nothing since Grant versus Torstar, which established the responsible communications defense, touches this stuff. And a lot of other people are trying to figure out what this means for them in their journalism.
Oh, Jesse, I read you. I feel your discomfort. Remember my answer to your first question. I'm a reporter. I made a living and a good living, and I'm going to make a great living again, relying on the protections that these defendants shamelessly tried to exploit, knowing that they had that there were so many errors and flaws with the Martin article that it was defamatory. They used the shield that you and I rely upon to do responsible journalism. But there's the good news. No genuine journalist can be anything but reassured by this ruling. You go through our judge's systematic analysis under the Supreme Court tests for responsible journalism. She pierces the evidence on the basis of the evidence. She tells you that the evidence demonstrates the Martin article is not responsible. And so, by turning that around, any reporter knows how to avoid being caught up in a defamation suit. And Jesse, let me tell you a story. I began my journalism career where? At the Defendant's Calgary Herald. I grew up there. My father was an editor of the Calgary Herald. The first day in 1973, you know, back when dinosaurs walked the earth, the first day I began as a summer student at the Calgary Herald, one of the senior editors of the newspaper took me aside and he said, "Here it is. Here's your first assignment." He pointed at me and he said, "Now don't report that story as if you might get sued. Report that story as if you will get sued, and my ass is on the line." I mean, that was a spotlight moment. You know, you saw that film, Jesse, last year. I mean, 2016 was the year of Spotlight, not
the year. Of course, for sure. And we are kind of in agreement about the type of investigative work that the Spotlight team did. And I think that we're in agreement about the kind of reporting that you did as a wartime correspondent. I mean, these are the kinds of positions and the kind of work that ennobles the profession. If they were going to make an action figure of a journalist, it might be a wartime correspondent, you know, probably even above like Woodward and Bernstein in the parking garage. This is a romantic idea, but journalism is a big field. And the political columnist, the opiner, the pundit on the phone with somebody who is betraying their own campaign by feeding information to that political columnist, and the political columnist says, "Give me the dirt on your own campaign." That guy's a journalist too, and we need that guy too. So
no,
you're asking
no,
me.
No, he's
you know Just one second, Arthur. You know, you talk about how no good journalist will feel anything but good about this ruling. When I read the ruling and the judge is dinging a journalist for his tone, for his sarcastic tone, I get chills up my spine. I don't want a judge ruling on my tone.
She's remarking about the tone that's built on false facts, Jesse. You would never build tone on the basis of facts that you had not sought to verify. Mr. Martin is not a journalist because he didn't seek to verify. Journalism is a practice, a profession, and a craft of verification, of confirmation, of proof, of balance, not bias. To call the Martin article biased is actually an understatement. The article was tailored to injure, to damage. That's not journalism. Yes, you can build eviscerating commentary on the back of solid, verified fact, but you can't do it on the back of libel, and that's what these guys were about. It's just not the same.
The thing of it is that I can turn on any kind of cable news shout fest and hear politicians being eviscerated in sarcastic tones that put Don Martin to shame these days, right? And what none of them have done in most cases is pick up a phone and report any of it. I mean, these days it's lightweight what Don Martin was saying about you. And I'm going to press on here and just try to see this from the other perspective. And I'm with you on, I think that they should have given you equal time. I think that they should have given you a chance to respond. But the story itself, it's not like Don Martin was coming out of the blue. And even just hearing you describe the Stelmach era and the party that you were, that was your party. You were calling them dinosaurs. I mean, that was out, like, I think to a political journalist, this sounds juicier than hell, that you've got this star candidate talking so much smack about his own party.
But I would say at least the other reporters did me the benefit of calling me and getting comment from me. And I thought it was, Jesse, forgive me, but I have to laugh. At trial, it was extraordinary. The defendant, Post Media, produced a couple of its other columnists. And they came to trial and they said, oh, Mr. Kent was such an exceptional. It was bizarre the way he was criticizing his own party leader. One of them actually said, Jesse, loyalty to the party is the basis of our whole democratic system. If you've reported in Russia, you know that loyalty to the party is one of the mottos of the former KGB of the Soviet Union.
Yeah, it's still really unusual for a candidate to be talking that way about the leader of their own party, right? So well, I don't know.
Like, look at Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, Mario Rubio. It wasn't only Mr. Trump, but it was Mr. Cruz and Mr. Rubio who were trying to challenge the GOP establishment. And look at Bernie Sanders. You know, God bless Bernie Sanders,
would call all of those great examples of similarly unusual cases, right? My point is only that you are obviously a really good story. And if I'm Don Martin and my job is to crank out columns on what's happening in politics, and I'm doing that from Ottawa, let's face facts. It'd be great if columnists were going to fly into the writing before they reported and wrote an opinion column. That rarely happens. It's rare for an opinion column about politics to have any original reporting. Not unheard of, but you know, let's contextualize this with the way things are actually done, which is that we have a lot of a pundit class of journalists who are just cranking out their thoughts on the people who are running on what's going on. So I'm going to ask you to like help me out here, and I'm going to run through in a nutshell this thing from Don Martin's point of view, or how I might imagine it, okay? Because I'm aware of this.
Forgive me. I just don't think that you will be able to cast your mind, thankfully, in such a flawed journalistic perspective. He tailored an attack. It was defamatory. He's lost.
Arthur, I'm concerned about what I'm going to do in going forward and reporting stories if something similar crosses my desk. So I won't put myself in Don Martin's shoes, but I'm going to hypothetically wonder about a similar story. If I'm aware that there's a candidate who has put in his crosshairs, he's running a incendiary campaign where he wants to change the party that he is running with. And he's saying stuff like that. And there is outward signs of conflict between the party leader and that candidate. And then I've got a source who is that candidate's lawyer feeding me information about how the campaign is falling apart. I'm getting that directly from that candidate's own lawyer. And then somebody else who's affiliated with the party, I say, has anyone resigned from this guy's campaign? And they say, not yet. Yes. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling pretty good.
I'll tell you what you do, Jesse. You do what I know you'd do. You phone the guy. You phone the guy and say, you know what I've been told? And then the guy says, wait a second. Let me ask you this. Could you find out what those people do for a living? Could you find out what they're seeking from a reelected PC government in Alberta? Can you find out if they might not be part of the gravy train that I'm campaigning to end?
Well, then I've got an even better story. Then I've got an even better story because now I got a candidate saying that members of his own team are on the gravy train. There's no question that I would do that because that's amazing.
Excuse me, Jesse. Neither of the two people you're talking about came to me and revealed what they were really doing. You know, and that gives you an idea of the nature of the character that was at work here.
That's even juicier still. That it's all this intrigue and subterfuge and betrayal. I mean, this is a great story, and if it had been reported a bit more thoroughly, it would be even better. So I'm taking some lessons from Don Martin's mistakes here. I mean, of course,
indeed, and that's what we should all do. That's why I'm saying I didn't win this because I cheated. You know. I won this because what they did was flat wrong.
Two questions here. If you look at it from that basis, they could have avoided the whole thing if they had printed your response.
Indeed.
Let me ask you this. Like I said, my first response when I saw that there was a libel case about this article was read the article and say to myself, well, what here is factually incorrect? And then I read the ruling after that came out, and it seems like when it comes down to an actual – forget the exaggeration and the tone and the negativity. When it comes down to facts, the sentence that is not true and demonstrably not true is the headline itself that Alberta Conservatives are calling you the dead scum.
No.
That's not true.
No. The false facts are that was I ignoring the advice of sage veterans? The court found that individual – could hardly be called sage. That was in the decision. And by the way, that individual, that one of Mr. Martin's sources, thrown out of the PC party last week for misconduct.
But his whole article was about how you were having all this internal conflict with these people in your own party.
But we weren't. Excuse me, Jesse. We weren't having internal conflicts with the whole party. We weren't having internal conflicts with a number of. We had a small number. We had a small number. The evidence before the court, and the evidence that the court based its judgment on, was that was not true. The Arthur Kent campaign had high morale. We had 87 members by election day. Most of the members of our campaign had never been involved with PC politics before. They were honest Calgarians looking for change.
But some of them were sabotaging you, Don Martin.
Jesse. There were multiple factual errors. That is the expression of the court. That's a finding of the court. It's not just because the headline was a smear.
But what were the other factual errors?
The court found the article, quote, made it harder for the Kent campaign to raise money, which was confirmed by Mr. Doolin, Mr. Kent's financial agent. Who was Mr. Doolin? He was the person that Martin said, on the basis of the incorrect information fed to him that was unverified by Mr. Martin, Mr. Doolin was going to resign. No, he wasn't. That was untrue. There were not people bailing out of our team. There's the Martin article is a fabric, a false fabric of multiple lies upon lies. And the assertions that people were leaving and that morale was bad was absolutely wrong. Our campaign narrowly lost the election, as the court said, as a consequence of the greater difficulty we had in fundraising. Don Martin, the National Post, and the Calgary Herald became players in this campaign by hobbling our campaign. That's not journalism. It is defamation.
You think you lost because the article?
The loss, the article contributed to a narrow loss, because we all agreed one of the reasons that we couldn't reach the finishing line as victors was that our fundraising came to a crashing halt after that. This is modern political warfare. I was trying to unseat an incumbent MLA, and we needed to have a fair shot, and we were not given it. The reason we were not given it is because the National Post, the Calgary Herald, the editorial managements, and Mr. Martin signally failed in their basic journalistic duty to find and report the truth honestly. And that's the bottom line. It's really more complicated than that.
You've spent 7 years fighting this lawsuit and ultimately winning it. At one point, you were offered a settlement of $300,000. Why didn't you take it?
There was no admission that they had done anything wrong.
Arthur, looking at the ruling and the award and then the damages, I was trying to figure out if have you come out on top, or have you lost money on this whole thing?
You know, Jesse, that is a perfect question, and it is a situation again where we have received a costs judgment just a week ago on the 16th of January. My lawyers and I are examining it in minute detail because it is our position and my position and the stated position of the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Canada, Beverly McLaughlin, that currently ordinary Canadians don't really have access to justice, because when you go to court, big corporations and wealthy parties are favored because they can spend millions on lawyers, as I believe the media defendants did in these cases. I believe, Mr. Godfrey's Post Media should have been paying attention to how to save jobs of honest journalists, they were spending perhaps as much as $3 million fighting these cases and losing.
You didn't do this for the money, but did you lose money on this?
Returning to your question, I'm in a situation of quantifying exactly where I stand, and when the time is appropriate, which will be within just a few weeks, I'll be commenting in great detail on that question, which at this time, because we've just received the costs determination, I can't really discuss in detail.
Yeah, I guess it's going to either fall one way or the other on the balance sheet. And either way, I don't think this is going to end up having been a very profitable endeavor for you. I can't imagine the amount of effort and stress.
I had to complete this because it is antithetically wrong. Jesse, most importantly, look at what this is. Look at how unusual this is, but how important it is to pay attention to what happened in these cases. This is the only time in the modern history of Canadian journalism and politics that a journalist and news organizations have been found guilty at trial for defaming an election candidate. Certainly since the Second World War, it's never happened before. There's a problem.
Yeah, I know. That's why the precedent is such an issue here.
Yes.
And you did this for the principle and not for the money. What is the principle? What should Cub reporters, columnists, opinionators take from this so that they don't end up in Don Martin's shoes?
Just be good. Be good. Be tough. Be precise. Be dogged. Be vivid. Reach for excellence. Be outspoken. But be certain. Verify. Confirm. Do all the things that make journalism wonderful. I hope in future, Jesse, in answer to your question, what do I do next? I hope to make this a guiding light, not against journalism. I'm from a family of journalists. I hope these rulings will be what I know them to be. These are guiding lights for good journalism and an antidote to fake news. And that's what I'll be striving for in future.
Arthur, that's like the Jedi lesson of this ruling, but there's like a dark side lesson as well. Like, he certainly could have avoided the libel verdict and maybe the lawsuit and the whole mess if he had given you enough time to respond and have that conversation with you, for sure. And certainly his editor should have given you the chance to respond with your own rebuttal. But there's another way that he might have avoided this all, reading the ruling. Because before you even get to all these rules about good reporting and responsible reporting, we have another defense against libel, which is fair comment. And he wasn't able to mount a fair comment defense. We have people writing opinion pieces about politics who have no responsibility to do any original reporting. If Don Martin, instead of saying that Alberta conservatives are calling you the dud scud, if he had written just a screed where he said, I think that this Kent guy is the dud scud, because that's so witty, and I think that his campaign is coming apart of the wheels, and this battle between him and Stelmach can't be good for morale on his team. It wouldn't surprise me if they all fell apart and betrayed him. If he had written the whole thing just from his chair without picking up a phone once or talking to another person, and it was just opinion, he also could have avoided all this, couldn't he? This could just as easily be a precedent to inform a lot of lousy punditry, bad journalism.
The bar is extremely high to demonstrate that something is defamatory. No honest journalist is going to be caught in it. There are numerous safety checks along the way. You know, you look at the protections that news organizations have. You know, you can't sue. I wasn't able to sue until I contacted the newspapers. I sent them my rebuttal. Then I had to send them a notice of intention to commence an action. They had multiple opportunities just to do the smart thing, Jesse. As you said, it was a good story. I was an unusual candidate. Let's fill some more display space online and in the pages of the newspapers. Let's print Kent's piece and then let's do another one. I mean, that would have been the smart thing to do. The story would run and run. But that wasn't, I believe, the intention. And that's what the judgment shows.
Thank you, Arthur.
Thank you.
That's your Canada Land Show. I hope you enjoyed it. Email me. I'm at jesse@canadalandshow.com. I read what you send me and I respond when I can. Our website, where you can find out who the new hosts of Commons are, is at canadalandshow.com. Our crowdfunding site is patreon.com/canadaland. New episode of The Imposter will be up on Wednesday. Shortcuts will be up on Thursday. The producer of this show is Russell Gregg. We make this show available to campus and community radio stations across this country, 30 of them, in fact. If you like what we do, please support us.
Hey, I need you to pay close attention to this message. It is not an ad. This is about Canada Land, and this is about you. You need to know that the news crisis is about to get a lot worse. You've heard about the layoffs. We're about to have news closures, and it's very likely that we're going to be seeing the defunding of the CBC. Where are you going to get your information from? What can you do about this? You can support Canada Land. We need you to. And so for this month and this month only, you can become a Canada Land supporter and get everything our supporters get for just $2 a month. That is an almost 80% discount. The clock is ticking on this. It disappears at the end of the month, and then we will not offer it. We need your support. We need to keep news coverage alive in Canada. Go right now to canadaland.com/join. And thank you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.